You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
I'd like to start things off by telling you a little something about myself. Every single morning when I wake up, I start my kettle for my morning tea, and then I turn on the television. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I spend every single morning with my quote-unquote Gale. You see, the Gale in my Gale is Gale King, and I'm watching CBS Mornings. Literally every single morning. My day just feels off if I don't get my daily dose of Gale King, Tony DeCoppel, and Nate Burleson. There's just something different about CBS Mornings than any other morning show. You know, it stands out. It's different. No shade to the other shows, but in the morning, I need news, real stories, human interest stories. I'm not as concerned with something happening on a plaza or some makeover. I need the news and the stories to start my day. And that's what CBS Mornings offers. But it's also the unique dynamic between Gale, Tony, and Nate that makes CBS Mornings more than just news. It's like I'm having breakfast with my smartest and coolest friends. Now, I felt this way for a long time, so I thought, why not talk to Gale King about it? Now, I don't want you to think that I can just call up Gale and ask for an interview because we're only best friends in my head. No, I had to beg and beg and beg. And guess what? It worked because Gale King is worth begging for, and I am chatting with Gale King today. We talked about what makes CBS Mornings work, the evolution of Oprah Daily and her show on CNN with Charles Barkley called King Charles. It's my favorite name of a show on television, I think. I love it so much. It's kind of funny even. Gale King has so many jobs. We actually talked about that too. I needed to ask if she ever naps. Spoiler alert, she doesn't nap. She doesn't take naps, which is wild to me. And if you're like me, you were first introduced to Gale because of her very public friendship with her actual best friend, Oprah Winfrey. I have to say, I'm so grateful for their friendship because they're just like the perfect example of what truly it means to be a good friend. And Gale says something about Oprah during our chat that I'm still thinking about. I'm blown away by the quote of how she describes her friendship with Oprah. Let me know if you notice it. I'll point it out at the end of the podcast what stood out to me, but I bet it'll stand out to you too. So let's get to it. Go on and grab a snack because I will be right back with, oh my God, Gale King.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Well, I just have to tell you, I have been such a big fan of yours for so long, and I am so glad that we're able to do this. And I love CBS Mornings. I tell so many people how much they need to be watching CBS Mornings. I post about it on Instagram.
Please spread the word.
What I love about it, the combination of you three, you, Nate, and Tony is perfect. I post about it all the time. And you guys are, and just recently, killing it in the ratings, being number one. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of... I feel vindicated because I feel like I was screaming about it for years now. And finally, people feel like it's catching on. Don't you think?
Well, the beauty is certainly we got a big assist from the Super Bowl. No question about that. But then people come and they try it and they like it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so far, so good.
What do you think it is besides the Super Bowl? What do you think it is about the combination of, well, you three, but also what CBS Mornings does? Because it's a different type of morning show.
And I think it's our content, too. Clearly, you know, people like watching people that they think like each other and enjoy working with each other. We certainly have that down on lock. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at all the morning shows, everybody seems to get along and work well with each other. I do think that. Yeah. But I think that we each bring something different to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, I said Nate is like, I'd say he's our fashionista and our swagger. Mm-hmm. He brings swagger, but he's also uniquely himself. The same with Tony. I said nobody beats Tony when it comes to interviews, those man on the street interviews that he does. Mm-hmm. And he's also his background is writing. He's a very strong writer. And I like doing, whether it's pop culture, whether it's politics, whether it's sports, whether it's business, I just have so many varied interests in all different types of things.
Yeah.
And I think that has just served me well over the years.
Yeah.
This is the thing, H. Allen. I don't think you can pigeonhole any of us. Yeah. That's the beauty, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I love about your just hosting style in general, especially with Nate and Tony, is there is this sort of, I mean, you are an icon in terms of broadcasting. You've done so many different things, both on the local level and on the national level. And there is this sort of reverence that they have for you. But then you throw out these things sometimes of where they get a little uncomfortable, where they're surprised that you said that thing. And it is, I tell you, I have a daily text chain where I just say things that you've made them feel uncomfortable about. And it makes me so happy. Do you feel that?
No, H. Allen, I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable ever. And anytime someone says the word icon or legend, somebody said that to me recently, it makes me extremely, extremely uncomfortable. Oh. I was on a stage once ready to go on after Diana Ross because I was introducing somebody after Diana Ross. Now, Diana Ross to me is an icon or a legend. So when I hear my name associated with that word, it makes me extremely uncomfortable because that's not at all how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel that, you know, I've been doing this for a long time and clearly love what I do and still feel there's still so much more to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do think they get a kick out of me. I will say that. Like Nate said the other day, we were talking about something and he said, "Oh my God, Gail, you so crazy." I go, "I'm not crazy. That's the truth." I forgot what we were talking about. I forgot what it was.
Well, I'll tell you one. I mean, there was a recent text chain I had where you were talking about there's some scandal in Hollywood. I forget what it was. And then you said one of my favorite lines that you say often, cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
Pumpkin eater, yes.
It is that. I mean, my friend Jonathan texted me saying you have to ask her about cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater because it's one of our favorite things to text. And it's true. You just throw these things out. And I think it livens it up.
But you know what I mean, though, when I say cheater, pumpkin eater.
I know exactly what you mean.
Like my new thing right now, I said to the team this morning, you got to get that Risa Tisa. Mm-hmm. Get that Risa Tisa on TikTok who has a whole big thing about who the bleep did I marry? Turns out she was married to a cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater who deceived her on many levels, mm-hmm. on many levels. Mm-hmm. And it's just blowing up. And I'm so fascinated by this woman exposing herself this way.
Yeah.
But she says, if it helps one woman, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, one of the things, I mean, back to the icon, one of the things that I think icons rarely ever feel like they are an icon because of what you bring, I think, to, and in a
Barbara
lot of-
Barbara Streisand feels like an icon.
Well, yes, but we've always known she felt like an icon in the 60s, too.
She just got the Life Achievement Award at SAG.
I watched.
Yeah, she looked very I thought she looked great, too.
Oh, my God.
She looked very much the icon and legend that she is. And I love how even in that moment when she's being celebrated, she said, "I want to thank all of you for giving me such joy."
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so fantastic.
Well, and that's
I'm about her.
And that's what icons do, I think, in that like they're very self-aware of sort of the people that have influenced them and make them great at what they do. And part of with you is I feel like in a lot of ways, especially looking at, I mean, I love morning news. I love daytime television. I think
me
it's
too.
Perfect.
Me too.
And you kind of are America's best friend in a way. You kind of have this sort of like, you're the go-to best friend who will tell us like it is, but in a funny, lighthearted way. And I feel like that is the vibe.
I'll take that as a compliment. I like that. I like that.
It's true though. And on CBS, you find that balance between being the journalist that you are and asking mm-hmm. serious questions and also recognizing those moments to throw in the cheater, cheater, pumpkin eaters or the things, you know. How do you find that balance, though?
Well, because both are true. So it's not like I'm sitting here going, how do I balance this?
Yeah.
It just, to me, both are true. And so when you're having a conversation, If it comes up, it comes up. I'm never trying to think of how can I insert funny line here. It's just that if it strikes me in the moment, I just go with it. I'm not trying to balance anything, to be honest with you. I'm a news junkie, been a news junkie for a very long time. And, you know, the news covers everything. The news covers everything.
One of the things that I always wonder about, sort of, because you have to cover some serious stuff, and especially on the morning, I look to Tony for the hard journalism, and I look to Nate for sort of the lived experience, sort of new journalist, and I look to you just to give us the heart of it, to give us the heart response. And I wonder, like, there is that balance between journalist and being a human being and responding to a story, and you often do, like, do you ever wonder, oh, maybe I shouldn't reveal so much of my what I feel in this moment? Do you ever question
I don't think that. You know, I've gotten my hand slapped a couple of times where people will say, careful, Gail, careful. You know, if I, you know, because we're not supposed to have an opinion, as you know.
Yeah.
And we really do work from the facts, just the facts, nothing but the facts. And for the most part, that is what I do. But I also know I'm a human being. I'm not a robot. And so anybody that acts like they don't have an opinion, because all of us do. It's just that it's not my job to share it. But sometimes it just gets to you. The George Floyd case got to me in a way that hit me because it had come back to back with the Central Park birder, that Christopher, who was, you know, the woman called Chris Cooper is his name, by Amy Cooper, who had called the police. And it could have gone very differently for him. It could have gone very differently. Just, you know, a woman, a white woman accusing a black man of something that he did not do. So I had that, followed by the George Floyd, where we watched a man literally lose his life right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And that just got to me. It was that 1-2 punch on that Memorial Day weekend that got to me. This morning, you know, the story that got to me was this nursing student in Georgia, 22 years old, just jogging in the around the track that she's done many times. And the person who was arrested didn't even know her. It was a crime of opportunity. That's just such a horrible, shitty thing that there's no explanation. There's no explanation for it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff gets to me.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's what I love about, I think, CBS Mornings is that you do get all of these stories and these emotions and you get, and I'm not, I mean, you have other fun segments, of course, but I watch some of the other shows, which I love. I watch the other shows too, but I also am sometimes like, just sit at the desk and tell me the news, girls. Come on. It's all I want. You know,
we do that. We can educate, we can inform and entertain without being a comedy show.
Yes.
No, I'm very well aware. I'm not a comedian. I'm not trying to make anybody laugh, but sometimes life is just funny.
Yeah.
Life is just funny. I sit here, you know, it was 2 years. 2 years on Friday was the war of Ukraine. People are still dying. Mm-hmm. They're still dying. And, you know, that sort of moved off, you know, it's coming back to the front page because they need money. But, you know, I keep thinking about those poor people where someone just said, you know, I'm going to come in and take your country.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill you in the process. It's mind boggling to me.
Yeah.
Politics in this country where we are, where you have parties on both sides that, you know, really don't care for either one of the candidates. And here we are in an election year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot to discuss.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. I have a front row seat to history and I like it.
Well, and it shows too. And that's something when you joined in 2011, you were at a point in your career where you really didn't need CBS Morning.
No.
You didn't need to join. You didn't need to do it.
And I was very happy with the job I had.
Yeah.
That's why people say, you know, God can dream a bigger dream than you can dream for yourself. I could have never dreamt this. Never. Mm. I was very happy with my life and what I was doing. Really.
Well, and that's what I think is so, that's what I think as a viewer I get from you is that, like, there are a lot of people who sort of struggle with their second act, if you will, or the unexpected act or the unexpected life changes or however it goes.
Yeah.
And for you to be thriving at this moment in your life when you didn't need this, you could have easily retired or had the job, you know, whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you decided to do this. There is sort of a inspirational aspect to that you are sort of doing something that people can be like, oh, I can do that too. Or I can take this new job in my 40s or whatever it is. Do people ever tell that to you? Do people ever recognize that in sort of what you're doing in CBS?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Walter Cronkite had to retire from CBS at 65, H. Allen. He had to retire.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Uncle Walter. Time to go. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. At 65, I wasn't even kind of thinking about retiring. I'm not even kind of thinking about retiring now. I just started King Charles this year. Yeah. I wasn't Neither Charles Barkley or I were looking for another job, but we were intrigued about working with each other. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the hook for me. And it was one day a week. And I said, well, let's try it and see how it goes. Let's try that.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm out here, you know, please, I'm looking for more work. I'm not. But when you get offered unique opportunities, I say never turn down an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Never. Mm-hmm. Never.
Definitely.
I never have, and I'm not going to start now.
Well, and King Charles, I do need that. Well, because you have, of course, your editor at large at Oprah Daily, and you also have King Charles and CBS Mornings. Do you ever sleep? Do you ever?
Yeah, I do. I wear my Apple Watch so I can tell you how much sleep I'm not getting. Yeah, I saw a thing on Sunday morning about these people who are short sleepers.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'm one of those.
I think I am too, because I average 5 hours a night.
Yeah. If I get five, I'm doing the hula. Mine is between four and five.
Wow. Do you nap at all?
No. Wow. It's hard. I think sometimes if you nap at the wrong time, it's like lights out.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to get up in the middle of the day.
Yeah. It can ruin your day.
I come from the power through school. Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, King Charles is fantastic. I love that you're doing that. I love that
he's a lot of fun.
So much. And you guys' dynamics together are just so much fun. What was it about, besides, of course, working with him, what was it about doing that excited you?
It was as simple as that. It was as simple as you all are going to talk about the news, mm-hmm. Give your take on the news. You'll have guests, and it's with Charles Barkley. Now, you know, I had met him, but I can't say I was hanging out with Charles Barkley, mm-hmm. but I've always liked his sense of humor. I've always liked his point of view. He's very authentic, says what he believes, says what he feels. He's never like myself trying to get clickbait or be provocative just for the sake of being provocative. He really calls it as he sees it. And if you agree, fine. If you don't, that's also fine with him, too. Mm-hmm. I think we're both at a stage where neither of us felt like we had something to prove. We hope people like it. We really do. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that this is a business. And if CNN doesn't think it works for them, it'll be, you know, Gail, was very nice knowing you. Thank you so much for coming. Here we have a parting gift, a mirror, you know.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but still.
I mean, this is a crazy business. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. But
he and I
are both really enjoying it and always trying to think of ways to make it better.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, and again, this sort of speaks to sort of why I think CBS Mornings works is your dynamic as, I mean, you're obviously a great journalist and he's a great sports star. But at the same time, he comes from this real world perspective and your conversations then bring something that you don't expect to see on CNN all that time,
exactly.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a surprise to us, too. The ad comes up. I go, oh, that's me and Charles.
Did you see the SNL? I mean, I have to ask you about the SNL sketch where they opened with that, which SNL sketch.
I didn't see it in real time. I think I was in Vegas because we were working.
Yeah. For the Super Bowl.
Vegas. It was either Vegas or California. So I didn't see it in real time. I saw it later. But, you know, it's one of those things where you sort of grip the side of the thing and go, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But what you just said, even if they slam you,
yeah,
it's still at least somebody's paying attention.
Yes. And more people are going to watch that.
Slammed. Yeah. You don't want to be slammed at SNL. Even if they do, that means people are paying attention. And the fact that, you know, and the week before they had done something with NFL and Nate was on that. So mm-hmm. I think people like the three of us together and they really like the content of what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what I think is the magic of the show. The three of us together, mm-hmm. there is a magical thing there that works, mm-hmm. but they also like the way that we present it and the content that we choose.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally was watching.
People do tell me that all the time, that every time I watch your show, I learn something, mm-hmm. or every time I watch your show, I'm always curious about how you all will cover a certain story, mm-hmm. or I just like seeing the three of you together. I hear that a lot.
Well, honestly, the only reason why I even have television, I pay for television, honestly, just to watch CBS Mornings, because everything else I can watch on streaming. So,
well, you're welcome.
Yeah. So you're welcome, YouTube TV. That's what I pay for. I pay that just to watch CBS. It's so funny. No, but there also, I need to ask you about Oprah Daily, because like I said before, I was in college when Oprah Magazine started, and I was the only
I was probably the only homosexual in the dorm room who was getting mailed a copy of Oprah magazine in my dorm room. And
so you were a unicorn.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Very much so. And then now with Oprah Daily and its iteration into the digital space, I love it so much because I think it's a perfect area for it to thrive. I wanted to know what you thought about this era of sort of Oprah Magazine, Oprah Daily, and how.
Well, I have to tell you, we just had a meeting today, actually. We just had a little celebratory breakfast just today, talking about the evolution of this platform. And somebody said, you know, okay, Gail, because print was very hard for me to let go.
Yes.
Oprah was there, you know, a couple years ago. You guys, we got to start thinking about digital. I'm like, no, she was there 2 years ago. And so I've come to grips with, you know, we're a digital platform, but we can also make a difference. And so we now just only put out two issues now. Now it's going to go down to one, the favorite things issue, because that's such a staple for us.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, when you're digital, you can be more immediate, which is also good, mm-hmm. which is good for us.
Yeah.
So you know, when you think about this, H. Allen, look, the Oprah show has been off the air. I think it's 10 years now, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's 10 years. And she still is held in such high regard and still really respected, and her opinion mm-hmm. still matters to people. Just this past weekend at the SAG Awards, Idris Elba said from the stage, now, when you're up here, mm-hmm. don't say anything that, you know, you wouldn't say in front of Oprah. And then he was, oh, beep, it's Oprah. Yeah. And it cut to Oprah's face going, huh? Because she didn't know that was coming.
Yeah.
But I called her yesterday to say, number one, I thought she looked great at the SAG Awards. Mm-hmm. It's a testament to what people think of you and how they believe in you mm-hmm. all these years later, the credibility that you have, the integrity that you have. Mm-hmm. Some shows go off the air and you don't hear a beep from their host, not a beep.
Yeah.
It says, where are they? What are they doing? Mm-hmm. But she is still very much a part of the culture. And I like that.
Well, and I also think there's something to, I mean, I talk about this a lot with with this magazine, with Newsweek, but also lots of other magazines like Time there's a legacy brand that I feel like you have to live up to in terms of the people you talk to. And you want to make sure that when you deliver something, it's worthy of the legacy of the brand.
We're a legacy brand.
And I think
brand.
And I think Oprah's like that too. And Oprah Daily and Oprah Magazine is like that too, where I know when I get an article from Oprah Daily, there's part of that legacy that's going to be a part of it. And that weight has to be a part of how good that article needs to be, you know?
And we are very much aware of that.
Yeah.
We are very much aware of that. We don't do schlocky stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, we touch on some pop culture in my monthly column, The World According to Gail. But for the most part, we are about wellness. We are about wholeness. Mm-hmm. We are about making sure, is your soul okay? Is your heart okay? Is your head okay?
Yeah.
And that message never gets old.
Definitely. Well, I also have to ask you, too. You must get asked about Oprah constantly. So I want to know, A, do you get asked about Oprah constantly? And B, what's the one question you're sick of being asked about Oprah?
You know, I never get sick of being asked about Oprah because I so love that she is loved the way she is. Mm-hmm. I so love that she is embraced the way she is. And it only makes me proud. I feel about Oprah the way I feel about favorite son Kirby, favorite son Will, and favorite daughter Kirby, that I can't wait for people to meet them because they never disappoint to me.
Yeah.
They never disappoint to me. So anytime someone gets to meet her or wants to ask me something about her, you know, and I don't have the hang up of, oh God, I wish they'd stop asking me about Oprah, because I don't, you would only feel that way if, and I've said this before, I don't see myself in her shadow. I see myself in her light. Mm. So anytime somebody says something about her to me, I am never offended by that ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I have to tell you, and this is just me getting personal, but when I was a kid, I would watch Oprah because my parents were separated and my dad got custody of us, and it wasn't a good situation.
Oh, wow.
And I would watch Oprah.
That was unusual back then.
It was very unusual.
Getting custody, yeah.
Very unusual. But I would watch Oprah and she would become kind of like my mom away
surrogate.
From my mom. And
surrogate, yeah.
When you were on, it was sort of like you're my aunt. And it was sort of like I created this little family of the regulars that were on Oprah as I was just a little kid watching shows that I probably shouldn't have watched and stories that I probably didn't understand. But
she did that for a lot of people, though. I mean, she was a surrogate fill in the blank for many people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the core of this girl has not changed from the time, you know, we were 21 and 22. Mm. we became friends and now we're 69 and 70. She's older, but I'm the core of who she is has not changed.
Yeah.
She's always wanted to be a force for good. And that continues today.
Yeah.
That continues today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my last question for you, and it's less of a question and more of just praise, is, and I know you don't like the word icon, but this is a very specific community that you are an icon to. You are quite literally a gay icon in that there.
I'm a gay icon.
You truly are, Gail. And I don't think you understand this.
I've
posted this on Instagram many
times.
I think you're
making stuff up.
Nope. I have proof. I did my work here. There are so many moments on CBS Mornings where you say something or do something or have something. For example, the coat you wore one morning on CBS Mornings during Super Bowl week when it was really cold.
Oh, that gold one, Liberace. Yeah, I call that my Liberace coat. Yes.
Well, Gail, if you're calling it your Liberace coat, of course you're a gay icon. Like, you shouldn't be surprised by this news.
I'm just saying it was the flair for the dramatique. I thought if there ever was a time to wear it, I love that coat. But I thought that would be a fun thing to wear in Vegas.
The level of how viral you went when you were on Watch What Happens Live with Anderson Cooper and you had I mean, Gail, you are a huge gay icon.
With Anderson, yes.
There are moments where
that moment,
you are everyone's gay
best
friend.
We weren't even trying to be funny. It was Anderson's reaction that was so funny.
Yeah.
That's what was so funny about it.
Yes. And
I'm also such a square that I'm like, huh?
But then there's also, and this is one where your status as a gay icon is cemented. You had, of course, your very serious interview where you're talking about sort of the allegations against R. Kelly and all the things and the charges against R. Kelly. But then the way you said Robert has become something that me and my friends will constantly go, Robert. And it's just how we, even if your name's not Robert, that's how we know we're serious. Robert.
H. Allen, newsflash, that is his name.
I know. I know. But the way you did it was just everyone's basically stern friend saying, shut up and listen.
Funny.
So iconic. Well, Gail, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it. This has been a huge honor for me, and I support everything you do and will always be there with everything you do.
Well, thank you for picking me. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. We will continue on CBS Mornings. Hopefully we will continue to make you proud because I love that job.
Well, I will keep posting about it and telling everyone to be watching because it is literally my favorite morning show out there.
Okay. I so appreciate that.
Did you catch the thing that she said about Oprah that was so incredible? It was when she said that she doesn't see myself in her shadow. I see myself in her light. I mean, we all need a friendship like that. And yes, Gail King is a gay icon and she needs to own it. And she's owning it in that coat. You need to go to the article of this podcast and just look at this coat, this gold, amazing coat. It's incredible. Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review if you could, because it helps me a lot. And for the latest news and podcasts, head to newsweek.com and follow Newsweek on all the social platforms. And while you're there, go subscribe to my newsletter for the culture. It's fantastic. I know you will love it. Until then, watch something fun. Watch CBS Mornings and have a great day.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.